Today is the 8th of January, 2020. What? Before Shem Day, yes. Perek Yud. In Before Shem Day of Perek Yud, we're in Parshas Ekev. So let's get going. So in the first parak, the first pasuk it says, "Be'isihi Amar Hashem Elai P'salach Hashanil Chos Avinim Kirishanim." That Hashem said, at that time, Hashem said that you're going to hew these stones. So we had Rashi point you're going to make an aron of wood. So Rashi pointed out and says, okay, whoa, what's that? What's this aron of wood that needs to be done? So he simply says, by the way, this isn't the aron. This isn't the aron with the capital A. This is just an aron with a lowercase aleph, right? You're going to have these luchos. You're going to need someplace to put it. Mishkan lo nisa askuba, right? They're not going to deal with the Mishkan until after Yom Kippur. So you have a little while until they're going to make the Mishkan. So rather, it must be that this was the Aron. So what happened to this Aron? So Rashi claims, oh, that's the Aron that was brought out to war. That when the Bnei Yisrael went out to war, they went out with an Aron. So they went out with this lesser Aron that was made out of wood, while the golden Aron stayed in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, with one exception, that exception being a battle with Eli, the sons of Eli, in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, where the official Aron was taken out and ultimately captured by the Pelishtim, as one could see there. Fine. So that is the assumption that Rashi makes. So the Ramban says, it wasn't even that. He says, just that you need to make this aron, which you're going to put your things in. And this aron was going to be entirely of wood, and the covering on top of it was going to be wood, like all aronos are made. And the luchos were going to be there when? Ad shenasa ha-mishkan, until the mishkan is made, and then you're going to make the aron that's going to be golden. Asher alav zav ta'or. V'lo amar lo kein b'luchos harishonos, l'fi shehaya galui l'fano sheishbur. Asher alav zav ta'or. Right, and he didn't say this regarding the first luchos. Why? Because everybody knew that they were broken. Sorry, because he knew that they were going to be broken, right? The Rabbi is asking a question here. He says, if Moshe is coming up with these two luchos, and Hashem says, well, you know, you're going to have these two luchos, you're going to need an aron to protect them, he's only saying that in regards to the second set of luchos. So why did he not say it with regards to the first set of luchos, right? Moshe should have been commanded before he went up in Parshas Yisro in order to get the first set of luchos. Make sure you have an aron prepared for when they come down. So Ramban says something here, which opens up a Pandora's box in terms of how do we understand the world and Hashem running of the world. He says he didn't say it with the first luchos. Why? L'fisha haya galui l'fun of shishrim. Because Hashem knew that they were going to be broken.
It's free will.
That's not fair. Right. Right. So it doesn't deny the prospect of free will. It's that Hashem knew that Bnei Yisrael was going to exercise their free will, causing Moshe to exercise his free will and break the luchos. Right? But it's still...
That's free will. If he knew what he was going to do, they had no choice. They had to do it. It's sort of like an inconsistency. You have free will, but Hashem knows what you're going
to
do.
All right. Well, I know you're not coming to shir tomorrow. It doesn't mean you don't have free will.
But I could come, theoretically. But in this case... it's impossible because Hashem knew, so it's impossible. Well, it's theoretically possible I could come tomorrow.
It's not a contradiction.
No, it is problematic, especially when you assume that Bnei Yisrael is being punished for it. Right? Bnei Yisrael did this Chet HaEgel, that's considered the worst sin ever, or you know, top five, and they're getting in trouble for it. While Hashem is saying, yeah, but I knew they were going to do it. They were destined to go on that path. I think that's a bigger question than the free will argument. It's intertwined, but one could still say Bnei Yisrael exercised their free will, just like you're exercising your free will to appreciate that, to cheer on Trump's speech and to not like Elizabeth Warren's discussions, right? So that's free will. Now, walking in today, I knew exactly what you were going to say, right? Right? It doesn't mean that you don't have the free will to be able to to say what you wanted to say, right? But it is a little bit of a what? but it is striking that the Ramban would just put it out there like that. Like, oh yeah. So Hashem knew that there was gonna be a Chet HaEgel and Hashem knew that Moshe was gonna break the Luchos, especially when you consider what do we say about Moshe's decision to break the Luchos. That's on the list of things that the Gemara says that Moshe did of his own free will, which Hashem did not instruct him to do, and which Hashem gave him a Yesher Koach at the end for. Right? As the last Rashi in Chumash indicates to us, Yeshakach Shashi Barta. So there's a lot of assumptions that Hashem is saying, and the truth is that's one of the answers to the question of if we have free will, how does Hashem know the future? So it's not that Hashem knows, has taken away our free will. It's just that Hashem knows what we're going to choose. Right? That's one of the approaches. But you're still stuck with that. Doesn't really solve the problem because, well, then it is predetermined. Not necessarily, how can we be punished for those decisions if it's so obvious that we're going to make them? So anyways, this line sort of brings that into the forefront. But then he goes on and talks about something else. So we're going to go on and talk about something else. So the Ramban continues on and says, they were there until the Mishkan was made, which they commanded, you can put the top of the Aron, and that's how you read these psukim. Now then he goes ahead and quotes this Rashi that we read already, that this Aron stuck with Bnei Yisrael and was never taken out. And the Ramban says, v'yesh lishal, but I have a question, right? He says, wait a second. We're assuming that the luchos that were in this wooden lesser aron was eventually, as soon as the golden aron was made, was going to be taken out of the wooden aron and placed into the golden aron. So says the Ramban, so what's the point? I mean, Rashi saying, oh, and we're going to keep that around in order to take it out to war. Well, why? What's significant about it? Well, because it once held the luchos in it, right? What's the significance of using this in order to take out the war if it's empty, right? So v'lama hu yotzi ma'al l'melchama, why would go out with them to war? V'omrim, and they say, well, sheshivrei luchos hayisham, says, well, yeah, they took out the second luchos from it, but what was in that box? The shivrei luchos, the broken luchos, right? So that's great, except, and the Ramban doesn't deal with this, and the Ramban, in fact, doesn't go with this approach. But what, so you're going to walk, is that really a great look for Bnei Yisrael to go out to war, parading the broken luchos in a box? Like, what is, what?
They used to go out with the Torah, with the whole Torah in the box. Just the luchos.
That's what he's saying here. Oh, yeah, they took the luchos out, but they left in the first broken luchos. So I don't know, I would think that's not such a great look to go out to war, parading the Chete Egel in a box in front of the enemy, like, what is that? So, anyways, that needs some discussion. But he says about Divri Yachidheim. He says, however, that is a minority view. That is one person's view. Those of you look up, Shekach Shaninu Mesechah Shkalim. Those of you learn Mesechah Shkalim, it says there, Tanya Rebbe Yehuda Barebi Eli Omer, Shnei Aronos Hayu Im Yisrael B'Midbar. That there were two Aronos in the Midbar. But that's the opinion of whom? That's the opinion of Rebbe Yehuda Barebi Eli. Right? Echad Shayu Shivrei Luchos Menachem Bo, etc. V'Rabbanan Amri, however, the Rabbanan said, no, Echad Haya, there was only one. V'Pam Achas Yatzabi Mei Eli V'Nishva. And one time it went out during the time of Eli and it got captured. So what it sounds like? It sounds like it has a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan as to whether there was the second Aron, and how do we paskin? Now it's a little unclear how you paskin, but how do we paskin in terms of Rabbi Yehuda versus the Chachamim? Right, we paskin like the Chachamim. Right, majority would always win out over Rabbi Yehuda. Right. So wait a second. What do you mean paskin? It's a historical fact.
Is that a halacha?
Right. It's a historical fact. What do you mean you're paskining on this historical fact? But the truth is, so it's a good question. So two answers. One is that you got to look up that Mishnah. It could be that it's part of a halachic discussion. But the second approach is that, fine. But in terms of Rashi invoking, I mean, why would Rashi invoke Rabbi Yehuda's opinion as opposed to the Chacham's opinion, right?
What was inside? Was it just the luchos or was it the entire Torah?
Which? What?
When the police,
they're seeing the official Aron, which had the luchos in it, and there was a Torah in it as well. The Gemara lays out the dimensions of the Aron to try to figure out, because the luchos weren't just tablets; they were like cubes. So the cubes, so that took up much of the Aron. This is described, I think in Maseches Yuma someplace. I think there are sort of diagrams there. Diagrams in the actual Vilna Shas sort of point out that I think it's 10 amos, but the luchos were 10 tvachim, luchos were 9 tvachim, you're able to have space for the Torah. I think that's what.
So it was the first set of luchos and the second set of luchos?
So what Rashi's position is, is that this wooden aron that he made up was to put the second luchos in and put the broken luchos. When he built the aron for the Mishkan, the golden aron for the Mishkan, he took the luchos, the second set of luchos, out and put it in the golden things, right? And then generally for war, Rashi's position is they would take the wooden aron out that had the broken luchos in it and leave the golden aron in the Mishkan / Beis Hamikdash. I think there was a full Torah in there as well.
Which was captured? The golden.
So in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, there is a story where Bnei Yisrael lost the battle, and they, in order to be successful, they said, let's take the Aron out, and that way we'll be successful. And they went into the Mishkan and took it out under Eli's watch. And Eli is criticized for... And they took it to war. They took it out to battle, and it got captured by the Pelishtim.
But it wasn't in a box. Oh, the aron. Was it the golden aron?
The golden. But that only happened once. That's both Rashi and the Ramban say. That only happened once. Now, what about a regular war? So Rashi says they took out this wooden aron. The Ramban is going to say they didn't. Right? And he says, and I'm following the majority opinion in that Mishnah Meseches Shkalim. Right, and he says v'das rabbi said b'chol makom b'talmud ein okay. He says, and that's by the way the opinion of the rabbanon all over the Gemara. Right, ela luchos v'shivrei luchos menachem ba'aron. That the luchos and the broken luchos were both placed in the aron. Va'od, and also ana yamod ha'aron hazeh ima luchos harishonos kol yimei hamidbar came to mishkan b'veis katshei akatshim la'achar paroches ein sham shtei aronos. And also not only that, it stood in the that Aron had the luchos all the days in the midbar, because in the Mishkan beveis katshei kachim lacha parochas ein sham sheiros. There weren't two aronos there, right? If you're gonna say that there's two arons, well, it had to be kept someplace, right? So they're gonna keep the golden aron in the kodesh hakodashim, and then they keep the wooden aron in a closet. Like where is it gonna go? So that's why the Ramban says there was no second aron, right? There was another shot. That's not true. People made that up. Right? The witnesses that cannot confirm that there was anyone behind the grassy knoll.
Fake news.
Right. The magic bullet did not happen. Yeah.
We learned that the broken luchos was put in with the second set of luchos in the same.
That's what the Ramban holds. Okay. So what happened to this wooden aron that Moshe is commanded to make? So Ramban says, aval aron hazeh shel Moshe kishenasa aron shel Bezalel. What did they do to it? Gansuhu.
Firewood.
What? Firewood. Well, geniza. What's geniza?
Geniza with a
stored
old document.
Yeah, they put it in Sheamus.
That's not right.
Oh, yeah, it should be in a museum. Right, kedin tashmishi kedusha, like regular halachos of tashmishi kedusha. Actually, that's just giving me an idea for halacha day. Okay, v'zehu nachon al das harav seinu ki al derech hapshat yitachin ki vasisal cha'aron eitz yirmuz l'aron sh'as b'tzal. He says, and this makes sense, because it sounds like that you're going to make a wooden aron is a hint to the aron that b'tzal is going to make. V'zeh ki mirchila nitztavinu Moshe al mishkan v'keil. Now, keep in mind that the Ramban is much more into keeping everything in order in the Chumash, right? So you have a problem when we learn through Sefer Shmos, because Parshas Yisro and Mishpatim deal with Kabbalah Satorah. Truma and Tetzaveh have to deal with the command to build the Mishkan. Kitisa deals with the Chet Egel. And then Vayakel Pekudei deal with the building of the Mishkan. Right, so the Ramban says, yeah, that actually happened in order, right? Which actually implies whether the Mishkan was ideal or whether it was not ideal. The Ramban holds is that there was always a plan to build a Mishkan in the Midbar. Rashi, one could say, says, no, that wasn't the plan, right? The Mishkan was a response to the Chet Egel. If so, why did they put the command before? The command is before they did the Chet Egel. Rashi says, that doesn't bother me. Right, it's out of order. He says, okay, well, why did they make it out of order? Rashi would say, because it's a little, you know, it's not so dramatic to say that the Mishkan is a response to people bowing down to a golden calf. Right, let the Mishkan stand on its own, at least in terms of our impression, and not make it be that way. But the Ramban says things have to be in order. So Moshe was commanded on the Mishkan, and the first mitzvah was to build the Aron. Why? Ki ikar hakavana b'chol Mishkan yos Hashem yoshev hakruvim. Because that was the main kavana for the whole Mishkan, that it should be a place for the kruvim to be. V'achar kein asos egel. And then they made the egel. V'chasher nitratza Hashem l'moshe v'amar lo sheyichtav al luchos ha'elu k'michtav harishon. Then when Hashem comes to Moshe and says, I want you to write these luchos again like you did, like they were written the first time, tzivah b'ktzer, he told to make the luchos ha'ela ha'aron eitz, and to make this wooden aron, he had mitzvah lo luchos harishon. So that was a mitzvah for the first luchos. So he told him to build his first luchos, the first aron, in order to keep it. But the command to build, that was a makeshift aron until they would have a chance to build the golden aron. Okay, so that is at least how to understand that beginning.
The commandment to in Shemos, the commandment to build the Mishkan was before the Ketahil.
In terms of the order of the Parshas, yeah. Parshas Truma Tetzava come before Kitisa. Okay, so we ran to the question the other day, Uvenei Yisrael, that Pasuk Vav, it says, Uvenei Yisrael Nasumi Bros Bnei Yakan Mosera Sham Mis Aaron Recover Sham. That's where Aaron died. So immediately you're shocked. Like, what in the world is Aaron dying here? That's right in the middle of the story of the Chet Egel. The story of the Chet Egel happened the year Bnei Yisrael left Egypt. And all of a sudden we're talking about the death of Aaron, which happened in year 40. Right? So what is that? Why is that in the middle here? So Rashi came up with this wild story. Right? Rashi came up with this story that that after the death of Aaron, the Bnei Yisrael ran backwards. Right? And he says also it didn't happen. Right? Aaron didn't die in Mosera. Aaron died by Hor Har, which has its own label, has its own place in Parshas Masim, and gives a list of the places that Bnei Yisrael ended up. So what's going on here? So he gives this wild story that after the death of Aaron, the people ran backwards. People ran back to Mosera and had to be taken there. Right, it had to be stopped there from going all the way back to Mitzrayim. Right, they were so scared that they were going to run all the way back to Mitzrayim. The Levim chased after them, and there actually was a battle, Rashi says, and some of them died. And that's what's being described in this pasuk here. Why exactly is it here? Yeah, in order to make the point that Shekashem Yisasun Shel Tzadikim Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kiyom Shenishtabru Bo Haluchos, that the day of death for the Tzadikim, of Tzadikim, in front of, for Hashem, is just as bad as the day that the Luchos were broken. So that's the pshat that Rashi gives. The Sforno, however, actually the Rashbam, on the other extreme, says no. He says Rashbam is always going to try to give the pshatiest pshat, right, the most simplest explanation. So Rashbam says, no, I'll tell you what's going on. He says, right? But chilas harbayim, v'aluanu yodur sh'aron meis, v'im kein mahu ilut filasecha. Rashbam says, no, this is the point we're making. That Bnei Yisrael had the chetek. Moshe had to daven on behalf of Bnei Yisrael. Besides davening on behalf of Bnei Yisrael, he also had to daven on behalf of Aaron, right? Because Aaron was very much involved in the making of the Chet Egel. For however, however we see Aaron's involvement, we talked about this when we learned Parshas Kitisa, he's there, right? The pasuk clearly talks about Aaron making it, Aaron being involved. So Moshe had to daven on their behalf, and the people said, Aaron died eventually. So therefore, how did Moshe's tefillah really work? To which Moshe responded by saying, "Lo b'tchilas harbayim meis b'maisei egel, el b'sofar bayim." He says, no, it did work because Aaron didn't die in the beginning of the 40 years when everyone else involved with the chet egel died. Rather, he died at the end of the 40 years. By Hor Har, Bo'osuzman Kishanasu Mibiros Bnei Yakan Shabo Sham Maseiros. At that time that they're doing these later travels that happened at the end of the 40 years, and that's just a demonstration, says the Ramban, to Bnei Yisrael that Moshe was successful in his tefilos on behalf of Aaron.
I don't understand that. What do you mean? Otherwise, if his tefila would not have been successful, he would have died right there.
Yeah.
Along with the others.
Yeah.
Meaning he was culpable. I mean, he was guilty. Why would he have to pray? I mean, I always thought that was an explanation.
Yeah.
This sort of
implied. Right. Well, you only come 2 days a week. What can I say? Right. Yeah. Review the tapes. We did this Parshas Kitisa. We did a whole thing about Aaron. Go check it out on Why You Torah. What?
Moshe saved him. Okay.
Moshe saved Aaron. Yeah. So the Sforno gives a little bit of a middle ground here. He says, right, Rashi gives this razzle-dazzle explanation of Bnei Yisrael going back and having a war someplace else. So Rashbam says, no, very simply, Moshe is just all part of Moshe's narrative, just to show up, make a point about Aaron not passing away. The Sforno gives a middle ground. He says, Afa Pisharo should tefillas hatzadik megina al doro. He says, even though the people see that the tefila of a tzadik can protect the generation, the Sharoi lis onein al misaso, hine ksasam orubam shahayu roim b'mit, Midbar nasu lemosera limtsomayim umare letzon. He says, and it would be befitting to mourn his death, some of them, or even many of them, that were shepherds in the desert. What did they do? They went back someplace else to where there was water. Right? As soon as Aaron died, they're like, uh-oh, we better go get out of here because we're down. We're short the Nani Akavod, we better go do something else. V'odem sham mesar, while they were there, actually it could be that maybe Miriam, I'm not sure what he says, if he means when Miriam died or when Aaron died, but either way, when they were there, that's when Aaron died, and that's when he was buried, and that's when he wasn't buried, but that's where he was, placed in the cave, and that's when Eliezer became the Kohen. V'lo bo lizon in alamisa, and they didn't come to mourn the death. V'lo lis avalak vura, or to mourn the burial. Right? V'lo chashashu l'chaved Eliezer shekin taklam, nor did they think to even send an email to Eliezer, at least a text message to Eliezer, giving him a mazel tov on his new appointment. They stayed in this place in order to keep track of the sheep. And the Sforno continues on and says, there it is. That these places are all places with rivers that were good for the sheep to graze. And they didn't stop. In order to mourn properly the death of the righteous person, Aaron. Right? So.
Aaron was buried there. I can understand when they say he died there, meaning that he could be a symbolic thing. Or
right, so the Sforno would say, well, it depends who you ask, right? According to Rashi, it would say, yeah, that he would say, I have to say it's symbolic. According to the Rashbam. Well, Rashi is the one that they went back there after the death of Aaron. So the death of Aaron meant that there were people that were buried in Mosera, maybe something like that.
But it says Aaron was buried there.
I understand. Well,
Aaron was buried.
That's the simplest shot. I mean, that's what the Rashbam. So the Rashbam would read it as. I don't know actually how would he
was
deal
Aaron with. Buried? Did you see that video? You two, a bunch of Hasidim, went to Aaron's cave. Have you talked about that already? I missed that too.
Yeah, v'lo v'sham meis Aaron v'lo. Yeah, so the Rashbam reads it as that Moshe died, that Aaron died over there, meaning later on. I mean, the whole point of these places, according to the Rashbam, are the later places, right? Bnei Yisrael went to a bunch of places the first year, and then for 39 years only were in like 18, I don't know, 11 places, I forget what the number is, and then they were in a bunch of places the last year, which would be let off by Mosera. So the Rashbam says, Aaron didn't die now, he died in the Mosera period, which was the very last year. It's not giving an exact place, rather it's giving a time frame, because the Rashbam is trying to say that the whole point of Moshe invoking Aaron here is to point out that it was in a different time, that Aaron didn't die now, rather in a different time. So it's not giving an exact location of his burial, rather it's giving a time frame for his burial. That's the way the Rashbam would give the pshat here. One more thing to mention here. What should we go with? Here, so the Or HaChaim in Pasuk Yud Beis, it says, V'yata Yisrael ma'ashem elokecha shalom mimach. Right? The Leah begins with Moshe saying, and now, O Israel, what does Hashem want from you? Kim li'yirat Hashem elokecha. Only to fear Hashem, melechas b'chol rechav, and go his way, ulovoso, and to love him. So the Or HaChaim says, what does it mean? Kavanas hakasef hi al zeh haderech. V'yishi shtei hadargo shechafetz ki Hashem mi Yisrael atzos. What does it mean? And now, he's asking, and now, what does Hashem want from you? Just to fear Hashem. So the Or HaChaim is saying that that Moshe is describing the minimum what they should do. One is, right, there's really two levels. There's fearing Hashem and then there's loving Hashem. And they're saying, at least do the fear. Because if you fear Hashem, you'll follow what you need to follow, right? You'll get everything done. Because a person who's in fear won't miss any of the things which they're commanded to do, right? He says, and not only that, but this fear will then lead to Ava. And that's what it means, and that's why it says Or HaChaim, viata. And now, for the level that you're at, I expect Yiras Hashem. I expect fear of Hashem. Then he continues on and says, well, wait a second. Why does it mean, but only Yiras Hashem? I mean, the Gemara itself says, only Yiras Hashem, right? It's, Yiras Hashem is a lot, right? Is it such a little? Shamru atu yira milsa zutrihi. The Gemara in Brachos says, is fearing Hashem such a small thing? So rather, he says, no. Compared to Moshe, meaning Moshe is at the level of Ava, he's saying, but now for you, Bnei Israel, where you're at, all Hashem is saying is to fear Hashem. Not that it's a small thing, but just relative to where I'm at, it's considered a small thing. But assuming you do that, assuming you maintain a level of yira shemayim, that should be enough. That should suffice for you to be able to continue on, do the right thing, and be able to pass on the tradition to your children. Okay, so that is a bunch of other things to talk about, of course, this pair. We'll stop here. Yashikayach. Okay.